It's always fun when you get a controversial topic to talk to. And one of the things about the series we're doing on the church is that most of that is actually very positive, very encouraging. But the church and gifts, which is what I'm preaching on today, has in church history sometimes been a matter of controversy, of concern. And it's very interesting to wonder why. And I think it's usually, back to what I was saying when I spoke to the children, it's usually because we get hung up on owning things. And one of the things about God's giving, when God gives, he gives that we can bless other people as well. And I think if nothing else you remember from today, I think it's perhaps that use of the word gifts. When we talk about the church and gifts, we're talking about what God gives us, the purpose of which is to bless other people. But fundamentally, God is a giver of good things. That's actually where we start from when we meet. We don't come to a God who is mean, a God who says, well, you're going to have to prove you're worth it. God actually says, I love you because I love you. And so he gives us good things. And that's where we start from. And so as we meet today, we're meeting to give thanks to God our Father, who gave us the one perfect gift of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that singular, personal grace expression of God, called the charisma of God. And God gave the Lord Jesus to be our Savior. And Jesus says, I give you my Holy Spirit, so that although I am back in heaven, yet you, my people on earth as the church, will be empowered by the Holy Spirit. I wonder what you think when you come to church and you get to this stage. I hope none of you are saying to yourself, though I'm sure some of you probably are, only another half hour or so to go. Peter Miller is nodding. He's definitely thinking he's keen to get out when he's finished my sermon. But actually, what I'd like you to do today is actually say, what is it that God might want to give to me today? What is it that God might want to give to me today? And to be open to receive whatever it is that God wants to give you. When Peter preached his first ever sermon, he finished by saying, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is given to anyone when they become a Christian. And if you haven't yet become a Christian, if your sins are not yet forgiven, that could be the most important gift you could receive today. But I want to focus mostly today on what happens after that. God has given us the Holy Spirit, but it doesn't stop there, because actually God's plan is that everyone who is a real Christian, filled with his Spirit, should actually be given other gifts, other spiritual gifts, and those are gifts that are meant to bless the whole faith community, the whole church, the whole body. And so that's what we're going to be particularly looking at today. If you got my example of the gift, if you like, the bicycle given to the child, it's theirs, versus the gift of music, which is something that is given to someone, but actually is only really meaningful when they share it with others. And that's what we're talking about today, that God's spiritual gifts to us are to be shared with others. A number of us will be going to another place of worship this afternoon at 3 o'clock, which is Vicarage Road, for the last football game of the season, because it's Watford versus Manchester City. I imagine you can get odds on Watford losing 5 or 6 nil, because actually they've forgotten that football is a team game, okay? Well, I want to say to you today that Christianity, following Jesus, is a team game. Yes, you can be a Christian on your own. There are some people who are completely on their own in very difficult circumstances as a believing Christian. But actually, for most of us, for all of us free to come here, Christianity is a team game. And so now there's a verse which I'm going to refer to a couple of times. To each one of us in the church, diverse expressions of the Holy Spirit are given for us to share for the benefit of everyone in the church. And God's spiritual gifts are not to be possessed, but they're to be given away and shared. Now, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to do a bit of Greek again. I know I'm probably looking more and more like a pastor as the years go by, aren't I? Chucking Greek into my sermons. It actually matters today, okay? So I apologize for that. And the first word we're going to come across there, and of course, I couldn't possibly write it, but I got it off a website, so it's easy. And it is charismata, charismata, where we get the word charismatic. But please don't take that word and let it be owned only by one particular group of Christians or expression of Christians. All Christians are charismatic in the sense that God gives to all his spiritual gifts. Whether we choose to use them is another matter entirely. What we're going to do is we're going to basically look at spiritual gifts for God's people. We're then going to look quite quickly, actually, at seven biblical truths about the gifts. And then I hope we're going to finish the time here by actually asking, expecting, and receiving God's blessing as a church, as individuals, as we meet together. So that's where we're going. Now, in this series on the church, of course, remember we started by reminding ourselves that God's people, Desta's first sermon in this series, God's people are right back into the Old Testament as well. The church is the expression from Jesus' time onwards of God's people. And there's lots and lots of examples of people who had spiritual gifts in the Old Testament. Now, I will say this, lots of my slides have got stuff on them, okay? Out on the welcome desk, there is a sheet which you hopefully is not too small to read. And if you want to take the references away, please go away and take that sheet and find these things and look them up. And likewise, there's a website reference there if you want to go and look at this in some more detail. Because I'm going to be looking just at the references in the epistles today. You haven't got a chance to go through all those. But of course, think about the gift of prophecy. Well, about half of the Old Testament is full of the books of the prophets. So we can see that spiritual gifts are not just a thing for the church, but they go right back to the Old Testament as well. And we find lots of examples of spiritual gifts in the time of Jesus, in the Gospels. So if you think about it, Jesus called together his disciples and he said, you go out and you heal people. And you forgive their sins, and you cast out demons, and all sorts of things. So those were clearly spiritual gifts that he gave them with the authority and power that came from God the Holy Spirit to go and serve other people. I won't even go through the book of Acts. There's lots and lots of examples of spiritual gifts in the book of Acts. If you want a list, well, just read it. You'll find them on every page, virtually. But the four passages that seem to be where most of our time is spent when we look at the biblical teaching on the spiritual gifts are these four. The one that Grace just read to us from Romans 12, which you might want to keep open. 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 14, but 13 is pretty important too, and it comes in between them. Ephesians 4, the first half of the chapter, and 1 Peter 4. And what's good about it is there's quite a lot of teaching in the New Testament about spiritual gifts. And that teaching is from Peter and from Paul's writing and in different contexts. So what we get when we find consistency between the teaching there is actually really, really helpful to us to understand what it is God wants to tell us about spiritual gifts. In certainly the first three, Paul's favorite picture, he never talks about spiritual gifts without talking about the body of Christ. Back to my point about the fact that these are not something to a personal, that we can use them personally, but they're not meant to be hung onto, they're meant to be shared. He always talks about the body of Christ when Paul talks about spiritual gifts. Okay, now with apologies, we're going to do a bit of Greek, okay? Here we go. No Greek yet, don't panic. You can read all these words, okay? One of the problems with the Bible is that to help us understand what's being talked about, sometimes we lose in the translation the fact that words in the original language when it was written down actually vary slightly. So here we've got now about the gifts of the Spirit. This is from 1 Corinthians 12. I don't want you to be uninformed. And then in verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts. Okay? But as I'll show you in a minute, those two words for gifts are actually different words. Okay? And it's quite important. I'll explain why. But I've marked some colours in red there, okay? Because when you look at it, what is being said here is this. So there's different kinds of gifts, but the same Holy Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord Jesus Christ provides the motivation. There are different kinds of outworking, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. So God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are involved in the spiritual gifts. And actually, there's different expressions. There's gifts, there's service, there's working. But actually, they're all in this bundle of what God gives to us to pass on to each other and to others. Let me just give you the, here we are. So it actually doesn't say spiritual gifts in the first sentence. It says, now about the things of the Spirit. Or actually, about the spirituals would be even more accurate. About the spirituals. I don't want you to be uninformed. And sometimes in churches, our church tradition perhaps more than some, we are a bit uninformed. And that's why it's good that we have this sermon. So about the spirituals, we need to learn what's being said. Sorry about these. I'm just trying to show you there's different words. There are variously chosen conduits. Now, I know some of you, conduit, if English isn't your first language, that's a pretty hard word. Channels. Different ways of operating, okay? So there are various chosen channels, God does the choosing, of grace expression, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of expressions of service, but the same Lord. There are different expressions of his outworking, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God at work. Okay, and then he goes on, this passage and the other passages have lists. So sometimes they're called charismata, as they are in Romans. Sometimes they're broken out into charismata and what's those other words? Diaconon and energematon, where we get energy from. But actually, let's not get too hung up on this. Let's understand what's being said. The message is there is diversity within unity. One God gives for the common good, these expressions of the Spirit, and they're all expressions of the Spirit, given for the common good, but they're different. And that's what we're going to look at today. Greek lesson over. You can wake up again and relax. So here we go. We're going to go through very quickly seven biblical truths about gifts. Now, just to explain, in each one, I'll put up some verses of the Bible. Okay, but I'm doing that just to show you that in each of the passages, the Romans passage, the Corinthians passage, the Ephesians passage, and the 1 Peter passage, we find this principle. And the fact we've got this alignment means we've got absolute certainty we could say this is a biblical truth that we can rely on. So I'm not going to take you through all of it. That's why I've given you, if anyone wants to go away, check them all, they can do afterwards. So I'm going to talk about these seven lessons quite quickly, but each one will have four or more references for you to see what's there. Does that make sense? Okay, so the first thing is that the spiritual gifts are always, always set in the context of love. That's why when Grace did the reading, we went on and read the words that love must be sincere. First of all, it's love for and thankful worship of God. Romans 12 started by saying, let's bring ourselves as a spiritual offering to God of worship. But it's also love for one another in the church and unity amongst Christians. And this is something that is a real challenge for us. Sometimes we have people who want to love and worship God, but find it very hard to get on with the people around them. And this is a challenge, and we're called to both. We're called to both. Being a Christian is not just about loving God. It's about loving people around us as well. And there's all sorts of references to this, but I'll just talk about the 1 Corinthians one. Because 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14 are two long chapters all about the charismata, the spiritual gifts. But in the middle, there's a whole chapter that's often read at weddings and so on 1 Corinthians 13, love, the most excellent way. It doesn't mean that love is instead of the spiritual gifts at all. But what it means is whenever we exercise the spiritual gifts, we do it in the context of love. Second one, it's always clear that the spiritual gifts, for them to be genuine spiritual gifts, are given by God. They're not about our own talents. And there are warnings about the fact that actually the evil one can sometimes can manufacture things that might look like spiritual gifts. And there's warnings about that too. And it's God who decides what spiritual gifts are given to whom, when they're given, where and how much of them is given. It's God's way of blessing us, but he chooses. So again, lots and lots of verses refer to this. Each of the passages does. But probably the best one is grace is given, grace charismata, and grace is the word charis or charisma. Grace is given as Christ apportioned it. He decides what spiritual gifts are given to the church. It's always clear, the giver is God. The next one, it's always by grace, undeserved favour. If any of us come to God and say, do you know what, God? I think I deserve the gift of administration. Now, some of you probably wish I had it, but that's another story. I think I deserve the gift of administration. That's not how God works. He doesn't do it on the basis of what we think we deserve, because actually none of us deserve his blessings. But what he does is he says, I want to bless you. It's not on your merits. It's not because you're educated or because you're middle class or working class or this or that. It is because God chooses to bless us. And these references don't come from the passages I've quoted, but they just remind us that every one of those churches that they were being written to by Peter and Paul, every one of them, the message was, look, it's not because of who you are. You don't deserve it. It's not of yourselves in Ephesians. It's a gift from God, your salvation, and the same applies to the gifts that God chooses to give us. So point three, it's always by grace. We don't deserve any spiritual gifts. Number four, it's always for the common good. It's for service of all. It's not for our personal benefit. Now, there are ways in which some of the spiritual gifts can be used personally. Paul says at one place, I speak in tongues more than any of you. But he then goes on to talk about how speaking in tongues is useful only where it is translated for the whole of the church to understand. So it can be used as a love language for an individual, but the blessing it is for the church is when it is shared for the common good. And this manifestation of the Spirit for the common good simply means if God gives you a spiritual gift, he expects you to pour it out for the benefit of everyone else. Okay? Number five, almost, I couldn't find a 1 Peter one here, almost always accompanied by warnings about misuse. Now, if you, it seems as though this, and this is why I think the spiritual gifts has often been quite a troublesome issue in the church, because it seems as though sometimes people get a spiritual gift and it's, mine's better than yours, mine's bigger than yours, I can do it better, I've got a very special gift, yours is just a boring gift. And that seems to be a really, really dangerous way of thinking. And so in all the writings in the New Testament, it's absolutely clear that yeah, God blesses through his grace. Don't therefore ever boast about it. Don't say, oh, I've got this gift or I've got that gift in a way that is pushing it forward. And don't misuse gifts either. And there's quite a lot, I won't go through this list here, about not misusing gifts. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says, certainly when you meet together as a church, everything should be orderly and fitting. Everything should be orderly and fitting. I think I've told you a time before, it's most unusual, I'm not suggesting this would happen here, but I was about to preach and the person had had a wonderful spiritual experience and they got up and they said, I'm now going to cock-a-doodle-do in the Lord for the next 5 minutes, and off they went. And it was a bit of an unusual service. It was not really orderly. It wasn't really appropriate, I don't think. And then I stood up to preach. As you can imagine, it was quite a challenge to preach after that. But anyway, so I think what we're warned about here is that there is not to be disorder. But, okay, are we as a church really in danger of disorder? Probably not. We're probably more likely to be super boring and super sitting on our backsides not doing anything, aren't we? That's our natural tendency. So although there is that side of things, actually, it's lovely when we let God, the Holy Spirit, work among us. And one of the things I'll say again about Illuminate this evening, one of the best things about Illuminate is we've got some more time. We're not always worried about the clock like we are on a Sunday morning with so much. And so that's why there can be a bit more time where we can give space for people to try spiritual gifts and so on. This is a good one. There is always a diversity of grace expressions of gifts. So we've got four passages, and none of the lists of gifts are the same. There's no one definitive list. So I also believe, I have said this is my belief, there's no reason I can see why the Spirit of God cannot create new gifts. I don't think we're limited to a gift, but I do think there are some gifts that are clearly given important teaching and important attention in the Bible, and we shouldn't ignore that teaching. But God can bring new gifts. And if we look at some of those Old Testament gifts of craftsmanship, the ability to work wonderful things out of gold and silver, that is a spiritual gift. As at the other end, prophecy or preaching is a spiritual gift. It says that we're to practice spiritual gifts, and here's a list. There's one here you can't practice, by the way. The gift of martyrdom. You only get one go at that, if you think about it. But actually, that is seen if God called anyone to give up their life for Jesus. That is actually a grace gift as well. So you can see, have a quick look at those. The 1 Peter 4 one is quite helpful. It's more like almost two categories of gifts. There's the talking ones, and as my wife always tells me, that seems to be where I spend most of my time. The talking gifts, I hope they're gifts, and the serving gifts as well. So the teaching and the serving, those are the ones that are brought out by Peter. But within that, you could arrange lots of the other gifts. And people have tried many times to structure lists of gifts and say what they think they should be. Let's just rejoice in the diversity of what God wants to bless the church with. And some more probably not on that list. And then lastly, on this quick whiz through, he always refers to variations in the amount of gifting. So what I mean by this is, Romans 12, by the measure of faith God has given you, think about your gifts and use them. So you use gifts in proportion to what God has given you. And so this seems to have two flavors as far as I can see. One is that it means that some people have got more gifts and some people have got more of a particular gift than others, not because they are more worthy, but because in God's economy, that's how he's decided. But it's also clear that sometimes, and quite a number of these gifts might be used by someone for a period of time as their particular ministry or role in the church. So, for example, some are prophets, some are evangelists, some are teachers, some are pastors. And that's a list in the Bible. There's other lists as well. Again, the lists don't quite. But they're saying, look, for a period of time, actually, it's going to be your job to do that gift. But that doesn't mean that other people are not pastors or can't have a gift of pastoral care and support for someone. Do you get that? So there's variations in it, but sometimes that will actually become someone's job for a while. So those are the seven lessons, and I hope that they are useful to you as you kind of think about them and consider them. But what I want us to do now is to go on and actually think about how we might ask God to bless us this morning. Because the message is, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Your Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Now there's two lots of giving, as I've said. There's that first time that anyone becomes a Christian. That is when you receive the Holy Spirit, that first time. But then the mark of a Christian is that the Holy Spirit lives within us. But we should go on asking the Holy Spirit to fill us. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, again, this is the not just the Reveille translation, it is what the Greek really means. Be being kept filled with the Spirit. If you think of yourself as a leaky container, you need to keep being topped up by the Holy Spirit. And so if we're going to ask the Holy Spirit in a minute, maybe one of the prayers we might pray is, Holy Spirit, fill me again. Keep me filled up with you. That I'm not just aware that I belong to you because the Holy Spirit is within me, but I'm filled with the Holy Spirit as we are called to be. And it's good too that we actually have a hunger for the things of God, that we earnestly desire the greater gifts, the expressions of grace. It's no bad thing to actually want there to be some blessing that God gives you, some gifting that God gives you. You are free to ask for it. But make sure when you ask that you're not asking so that you can be special or so you can possess this gift, but only so that you can actually give it away to other people, to bless other people. To each one of us, these diverse expressions of the Spirit are given, but they're given to bless each other for the common good. And so what we're going to do now, and John, if you'd like to come up and join me as well, what we're going to do now is we're going to actually wait on God and ask him to bless us with his Holy Spirit. Now, this is not manipulative, but if you've been a Christian for many years, when was the last time you actually said in church, "Lord, give me a blessing"? You might do it every week, praise God, but here's a chance to do it again. But for many of us, we get into a habit of being here without an expectation necessarily that God wants to bless us. And for some of us, it might be that we know that God is saying, "Reach out to me in faith, receive what I want to give you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you." So I think what we're going to do, I think it would be good if we perhaps stand and sing, and then perhaps after we've sung the first part of the song, we might stop and I might then just come back and say something more. Let me pray. Holy Spirit of the loving God, Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus, our Saviour, we thank you that you, Lord Jesus, are the greatest gift of all, that you were given for us, that our sins could be forgiven, that we could become children of God, filled with your Holy Spirit. We want to ask you this morning, each one of us who knows you, that we will be filled again to the full by your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us again, we pray. And we want to pray too, Holy Spirit, that you will give to us whatever blessings it is you want to give us today. Perhaps you want to bring peace or love, grace or healing. Perhaps you need to bring forgiveness and we need to come before you again for that. Or perhaps it is that you want to give us some special new experience of you, a chance to bless other brothers and sisters with an expression of your grace in a way that is for the benefit of everyone. Lord, we wait on you now to bless us and to fill us. And with your arms out or with your arms by your side, if you are able, invite God the Holy Spirit to fill you again and to bless you right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God, that you deal so gently with us. Thank you that to each who has asked to be filled again, you have come and you are filling us. Keep us filled, we pray. To each of us asked for some special new gift or blessing, we pray, Lord, that you may give us the faith to receive and the opportunity to share that with brothers and sisters for the benefit of all. And Lord, as we move into further worship to you, recognizing your greatness, recognizing that we come to you as a Father who loves us, but also as a consuming fire, we pray that you will burn up the stuff in our lives that gives us such problems, that so dishonors you, that trips you up, that trips us up, and lets us not live out the life of Jesus as you want it to be lived out in us. And we pray, Lord, that you will remove that and that you will indeed take out the stuff that gets in the way, that we can be filled all the more and can live for you day by day. We pray this in Jesus' name.